It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Today we're going to be back in Galatians chapter 2. We'll be in verses 6 through 10, and I've titled this lesson, God Shows No Partiality. Okay, so yesterday we saw how Paul, in response to the need to defend the gospel he was teaching and to demonstrate that circumcision is no longer a requirement under the new covenant, he went to meet with Peter and the other apostles to get their expressed approval. Today, we see what the response from those influential apostles was. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 2. We'll be in verses 6 through 10. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Paul describes his meetings with Peter, James, and John here and the result of those meetings. I love how he quickly takes the opportunity to point out that while to men Peter, James, and John seemed to be influential, they were still simply brothers in Christ to whom Paul came to meet with. God shows no favoritism. And in meeting with these influential men, Peter and James and John didn't have anything to add to Paul's message or to correct Paul in. Quite the opposite, in fact. They could clearly see God's hand working through Paul in his ministry to the uncircumcised, or the Gentiles, just as Peter was called to the circumcised, the Jews. This is important for the readers to note. Paul is writing to this church in Galatia, who are being told they need to all be circumcised, right? That means they aren't circumcised already, right? Which would mean that a good portion of them weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles. So Paul is writing to these Gentile believers, letting them know that Peter, James, and John were not superior to Paul. And in so doing, he is also affirming to them that they are not lesser believers because they weren't Jews first. No, Paul was not inferior to Peter, and the Gentile believers are not inferior to the Jewish believers. The key thing was that they could all see clearly that it was Christ working through both Peter and Paul in their respective callings to share the gospel and bring glory to God. This wasn't about either Peter or Paul. This was about the gospel of Christ. When this was clear to all the parties involved, they gave their approval on the work Paul and Barnabas were doing. They sort of commissioned them for their work as well. They did give one little caveat to remember the poor. Now, this wasn't about remembering the general poor, but the poor brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are always to be our priority over the world. We are to care for Christ's body first. And Paul, as we know from reading his other letters, was eager to gather a collection to bring to the brothers and sisters who were suffering from the famine in Jerusalem specifically. That's it. No. Oh, and make sure you circumcise all the Gentile believers. No. Don't forget to make sure that they stop eating unclean foods. Nothing. There were no extra conditions for the Gentiles than there were for the Jews. In Acts, Peter even says that they need to stop placing barriers in the way of the Gentiles and make it easier for them to see Christ. He isn't advocating changing the gospel, ladies. He was advocating the removal of outward man-centered requirements. Acts 15, especially verses 19 and following, will give you that in detail. But let's step back here for a moment. Who would have actually had the better qualifications for ministering to the Jews, according to human standards anyway? Paul. Paul, who was trained in the ways of the Pharisees, who was a zealous Jew. Not the fisherman, not the rough and tumble man of the streets, insert foot into mouth Peter. But God knew best, and one more time, he did things his way and to his glory, so that none may boast. Peter couldn't boast in his own knowledge and ability as he shared the gospel with the Jews, but Paul could have. Instead, God made it clear who was truly at work in both men. And Paul? Paul had no one to boast to, as he, the Jew of Jews, was sent not to minister to the Jews, who would have understood his qualifications and would be impressed by them, but he was sent to the Gentiles who were being grafted into the body of Christ, the family of God. How much are we like the people described in the church in Galatia? We can see from how Paul speaks here that human influence was important to them. Paul mentions his visit to Peter, James, and John to prove his qualifications because these people were swayed by qualifications instead of by searching the scriptures for the truth. Remember, Paul started out this letter emphasizing that his calling is not from man, but from God. And then he rebuked these believers for so quickly turning aside to follow a different gospel. Yet, are we any better today? We talked about this briefly yesterday, but are we more willing to listen to a celebrity pastor than we are to listen to a discerning brother or sister in Christ who knows us and is concerned for us? So often we listen without using the brains God has given us, without reading for ourselves the scriptures, without checking what we have been taught. We listen and, as long as the pastor preaching looks and speaks the way we think he ought to, we check our brains out. That's part of the popularity of many of these mega church pastors today. They look nice, they sound nice, so we listen for what we want to hear, and we walk away without ever hearing truth. Truly, if the Galatian believers had done their own research, had searched the scriptures for themselves instead of just believing what was told them by the Judaizers, Paul would never have had to write this letter. We'll see later in chapter 4 that Paul is at the point of actually questioning whether or not these believers had truly been saved because of how quickly they go back to being slaves to sin and the law. Ladies, do you know what you must do to be saved? Do you know what's extra added by men? The Bible says in Acts 2:38 that we must repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 16, verses 30-31, that you must believe in the Lord Jesus to be saved. But ladies, don't take my word for it. Go look those verses up yourselves. Read them in context and see what they say. Do you know what are extras that may have been added by a tradition or philosophy to your belief? Things like dancing? Is dancing a sin? Card playing? Drinking alcohol? Wearing jeans to church? Being loud in church? All those amens can be so distracting after all. Maybe asking questions that make people uncomfortable? Or allowing your sons to take glow sticks and drum on the chairs along with the drummer during worship? That would be me. Ladies, we need to remember that we are here to encourage each other to get closer to God, and the best way to do that is to approach each other with love and concern for the other person more than for our own self-righteous comforts. Yes, there will be times when you will be called to talk to someone about sin, true sin in their lives, but like the Judaizers were doing in Galatia, we must be careful not to elevate anything, opinion, preference, habit, experience, over scripture. So ladies, take the time today, open your Bible for yourself, and see for yourself, what must one do to be saved? Know his word, and hold fast to his word above all. You can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com. Under Day 4, God Shows No Partiality.